The first scripture reading this morning is Psalm 130. Psalm 130. I cry out to you from the depths, Lord. My Lord, listen to my voice. Let your ears pay close attention to my request for mercy. If you kept track of sins, Lord, my Lord, who would stand a chance? But forgiveness is with you. That's why you are honored. I hope, Lord. My whole being hopes, and I wait for God's promise. My whole being waits for my Lord, more than the night watch waits for morning. Yes, more than the night watch waits for morning. Israel, wait for the Lord. Be faithful, because faithful love is with the Lord, because great redemption is with our God. He is the one who will redeem Israel from all its sin. The second reading is from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We'll read verses 1 through 3 and verses 8 through 16. Faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. The elders in the past were approved because they showed faith. By faith, we understand that the universe has been created by a word from God, so that the visible things came into existence from the invisible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out because he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived in the land he had been promised as a stranger. He lived in tents along with Isaac and Jacob, who were co-heirs of the same promise. He was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah received the ability to have a child, though she herself was barren and past the age of having children, because she believed that the one who had promised was faithful. So descendants were born from one man, and he as good as dead. They were as many as the number of the stars in the sky and as countless as the grains of sand on the seashore. All of these people died in faith without receiving the promises, but they saw the promises from a distance and welcomed them. They confessed that they were strangers and immigrants on earth. People who say this kind of thing make it clear that they are looking for a homeland. If they had been thinking about the country that they had left, they would have had opportunity to return to it. But at this point in time, they were longing for a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God isn't ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared a city for them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What is the hardest part of living your life by faith? Is it believing the promises of God? Promises that seem impossible to a rational mind? Or is it harder to continue to wait it out when those promises seem to be buried and dormant? Waiting, as the psalmist says, as a watchman waiting for morning. Who hasn't been there? Who hasn't been stuck there? Maybe you're there right now, waiting and crying out with the psalmist from whatever depths of waiting you find yourself in. Know this, you are in good company. Through all time, waiting has characterized life for everybody. It sometimes seems that most of life is spent waiting. When you're waiting, it seems like nothing much is happening. It begins to seem like nothing, especially whatever you're waiting for is ever going to happen. In the course of waiting, anticipation and hope can easily give way to the depths of helplessness and surrender. As we all wait together for one thing or another, I ask you, is our waiting constructive? Does our waiting offer hope of promised light? Or do we dig ourselves deeper into the depths of darkness while we wait? Something there is about darkness that inspires our deepest fears. From the depths, our minds begin to contrive our own fear-filled scripts about how things will probably go. out of the shadows of darkness emerge excuses, bitterness, helplessness, and hopelessness, all of which hide even the wildest imagination of how life could ever be different from the way it is today, or that it was yesterday, or the day before that, or the one before that. If we were to hear the long-awaited promise, we might not find it too hard to believe. We might instinctively believe a promise simply because it is what we've been wanting to hear. Tell anybody battling a disease that they will be healed. Tell anyone who is out of work that they will get a job for which they have interviewed. Tell anyone who is hungry that food will be abundant. And they too might believe it because that is what they've been wanting to hear. Believing unimaginable promises may not be easy, but believing promises we want to hear might not be much easier as we wait for them. What happens after the thrill of the news of a promise passes? What happens when you wake up and find you're still crying from the depths, still waiting for the longed-for promise? In the waiting, do you begin to doubt the promise? Do you lose faith? It seems that it might be more difficult to wait in faith than it is to believe in faith. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is known as a roll call of the heroes of faith. There we find the accomplishments of Abram, who went on to become known as Abraham, and others who lived their lives by faith. This passage speaks to the difficulties of their lives. Never is it easy to be a true hero. Abraham knew this to be true. The sacrifices and difficulties Abraham had to endure on his journey of faith might get lost in the broad strokes with which the portrait of his faith is painted. The writer of Hebrews tells us simply, Abraham stayed for a time in the land that he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents. Just one short phrase, but it's filled with implications for the difficulty of Abraham's waiting in faith to receive the promise of God. Abraham's waiting was as in a foreign land, never settled, never feeling like he had arrived at home, never belonging. But the real struggle may be hidden in the living in tents part. Not that a tent was an unusual abode in Abraham's day. Everybody lived in tents. While hardship was involved, it was not out of the ordinary or beyond the hardship of others. It was not a sacrifice. Living in tents speaks more to the difficulty of simply waiting in faith for the promise of God. Living in tents speaks of all the mundaneness of the many days, days that led to years, years that led to a lifetime of waiting. Long after the glitz and glamour of the news of the promise had faded, and even the birth of the promised son Isaac, there was a mundaneness of living life in which he found himself. A life just like everybody else had. There he was, caught up in the mundaneness of a day in the life. Him, Abraham, father of a great nation, caught up in the same day-to-day struggle as everybody else. But Abraham was not like the other poor saps. Abraham was living his life by faith. He was reaching for that hand that was just beyond his grasp. The writer of Hebrews tells us that Abraham looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham saw where he was. He knew it wasn't the place he would stay, and he continued to look forward to what was yet to come. In fact, Abraham died without receiving the full promise of God. Yet the epitaph of Abraham's life, offered in Genesis chapter 25, says, Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man satisfied with life. How difficult it must have been to live all of those days by faith waiting for what had been promised. How difficult it must have been to go through the same monotonous motions as everybody else in the course of survival and still know, still remember the promise of God. How difficult it must have been for him to wait in faith. Reverend Benno Patterson says this about Psalm 130. The psalmist gives us permission to be unafraid to wail to God from our deepest places of grief, anger, fear, and frustration, while we wait for the promised, steadfast, loving kindness of God. Out of the depths, holy imagination dares to see what is unseen. Out of the depths, holy imagination makes extraordinary what is ordinary. Out of the depths, the psalmist tells us, the sacred story of our human existence. We speak the ineffable holy language of grief and fear, hope and promise. It is the place of our most sacred and honest conversation with God. From your depths, cry and wail in the face of death and torment. From your depths, hope and dream of a parade resplendent and glorious in the face of an ordinary day, out of the depths. How do you do it? How do you, after believing the promise of God, hold on to that promise through all of the waiting, day after day, through the mundane routine, without ever grasping anything you're reaching for? How do you live by faith? Well, Abraham doesn't give us a step-by-step survival guide to living by faith. Accounts of prisoners of war might offer some insight. In attempting to explain how some prisoners were able through such a horrible experience, while others, seemingly younger and more fit, wound up dying in prison, those who survived said that the prisoners who were either complete optimists or complete pessimists had the most trouble surviving. It was the ones who combined realism with a long view that finally made it out. They survived by waking up every morning telling themselves three things. One, I'm still in this horrible place. That's realism. Someday, though, I'm going to get out of here. That's a long view. And third, they ask themselves, if that's so, what should I do and how should I act today? That's waiting in faith. That's living in faith. I think Abraham might have managed to wait in faith for the promise of God because he combined this realism with a long view. And that long view was living by an unseen conviction that guided him. The conviction that the presence and promise of God was with him, that he was somebody. A conviction that this day and every day will be woven into the greater tapestry of the promise that God that has been received. Bruce Maples tells us, faith is not something we have to have enough of in order to do things or change things or be this or that. It is not some sort of magic potion or some mental fake out. It is instead a quiet, firm conviction that in spite of whatever evidence our current reality tries to throw at us, there is a God, and that that God is loving and good, and that that loving and good God is both the ground of all being and the ultimate winning reality. There is a God, and that God is loving and good. That loving and good God is both the ground of all being and the ultimate winning reality. Herein lies our assurance, our hope, our conviction of things not seen, our faith. In this, Abraham believed. For this, Abraham continued to wait. Abraham constantly reached for the hand just beyond his grasp. And so must we. Amen.